the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And I want to just read a few verses from that 10th chapter for our thoughts tonight. But let me tell you what provoked my thinking and really was the background for these thoughts from especially verse 22 of chapter 10 of Hebrews. If you have been with us on Sunday mornings during that Tanakh time, you know that Grant has compared Exodus 40, where the tabernacle in the wilderness is completed and the glory of the Lord comes down, and so Moses is not able to enter into the tabernacle. But when, and of course, then in Numbers chapter 11 and verse 1, Moses is in the tabernacle and God is speaking to him about the numbering the troops. And Grant's thought was simply that Moses was not able to get into the tabernacle when the glory of God filled it at the end of the book of Exodus, but he is entered into the tabernacle in the first chapter and really the first verse of the book of Numbers. And he spoke of Leviticus and its position between the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers as illustrating the way into the place where God dwelt with his people. And he focused upon Leviticus' emphasis on the blood atonement through the animal sacrifices as required for fellowship with God. Well, the tabernacle in the wilderness was based upon one purpose, and that was to bring people into fellowship with God. That tabernacle was like a small replacement for God coming to dwell with people like he originally intended in the Garden of Eden. Remember, he chased them out of the garden, and now he's trying to bring people back to the garden, so to speak, to bring them back into fellowship with himself. And so that's what this tabernacle is designed for. You remember, and I wanted to have an illustration up here, but our illustrator is not available tonight, and so I apologize for that. I just wanted to have a cross-section of the tabernacle available for you to picture. But maybe you can picture it in your mind, because if you have a study Bible, there are usually pictures of the tabernacle in that. But remember, the tabernacle was made up of three parts, really. There was an outer courtyard, and then there was, you would go from the outer courtyard through a curtain into what was called the holy place. And then you would, the high priest would be able to enter on a minimal basis into what was called the most holy place. He would pass through that another curtain into the most holy place, also called the Holy of Holies. Well, that is to picture the fact that while the tabernacle is God's sacred space, and it's the place where God occupied space among his people and wanted to bring them into fellowship with him, it was designed to show that there are stages and there are degrees of entering into fellowship with the Lord. And so that's kind of the approach that I want to take. I want to take it a step farther than Grant did in not only being able to enter the tabernacle, but enter into even the most holy place in that tabernacle. So that's my desire tonight, because I want to entice you and I want to encourage you as a believer to just get as close to the Lord, to get as near to him and his presence as you possibly can. I want to push you in the right sense, into a closer walk with the Lord, into a closer position with Him from a practical spiritual standpoint. Okay, so that's my desire tonight. Let's pause a moment and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the illustration that we have of your desire for human beings to be able to have fellowship with you in the Old Testament tabernacle in the wilderness. And I pray that you would use this these simple thoughts to just encourage our hearts to draw near. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen to what he says in Hebrews chapter 10, because Hebrews 10 is of course, using the old covenant symbolism to talk about the superior new covenant privileges that we have. And he says in verse 19 of chapter 10, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, that is, the most holy place, that is, the Holy of Holies, having boldness to enter into the holiest, how? Not by the blood of animals, but by the blood of Jesus. He says, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil. Not of the temple, not of the tabernacle, but the veil of his flesh that was torn, right? Verse 21. And having an high priest over the house of God, not someone in the line of Aaron, the high priest, but rather the one and only high priest in the order of Melchizedek, and that is, of course, Messiah Jesus. We have a high priest over the house of God. And then he says this, and here's the emphasis tonight, verse 22, let us draw near. Let us draw near. Let's go into that holiest of all. Let us draw near with a true heart, with sincerity, with full assurance of faith. That is, that we have access because of what our great high priest Jesus did in the giving of his life, the shedding of his blood. Our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. In other words, God giving total purity to both the inner man and the outer man. And thus, let us draw near. The courtyard is where we enter, first of all, in the Old Testament tabernacle. The courtyard was the place where the animal sacrifices were burnt on the altar. And I want to state unequivocally, right off from the beginning, that these sacrifices that were offered by Old Testament believers were never a means of salvation. They were never a means of salvation. Salvation has never been by observing the works of the law. They were not a means of forgiveness of sin. What they were was simply they offered ritual ceremonial cleansing from ritual impurity to provide and maintain your ability to be in the same sacred space that God occupied. However, all these Old Testament sacrifices illustrated and they symbolized how a person has a relationship with God and how a person enjoys and experiences fellowship with the Lord. You realize that these sacrifices were not given to unbelievers. These sacrifices were to be performed by believing people. And so the emphasis really was on having and maintaining fellowship with the Lord. There are a couple of pieces. I hate to call them furniture because it's outside in the courtyard, but a couple of important things. One thing in that courtyard before he ever entered into the tabernacle proper was the altar. It was a bronze altar. And when the priest entered the outer court of the tabernacle, that's the first thing that he encountered. was an altar that was designed for animal sacrifices. There, the blood of that animal was shed, the life was taken, and the carcass would be put on that bronze altar to be consumed and would then provide the ceremonial covering from ritual defilement that would restore that believing Israelite's ability to continue to occupy God's sacred space, because God was residing with his people. And that's what that tabernacle represented. So that altar of sacrifice represents and signifies and illustrates for us the justifying of the Lamb of God. It you might say, represents to us the initial step of salvation. We have salvation through his blood. Another article in that courtyard besides the altar was what was called the laver. It was a basin that held pure water. The laver, after going to the altar, the priest would wash in the laver. He would wash himself, his feet, his hands, in this basin of water. It symbolized cleansing, the necessity, you might say, illustrated here, of a person that has had blood shed for him, and then the washing of regeneration, which is what establishes a saving relationship with the Lord. That's not what it did for those Old Testament people. That's what it symbolizes and illustrates for us. It represents purification and the washing away in order to approach God. It's the place, you might say, where people are reconciled with God. I would say that the courtyard would represent believers that are at just really the first level of their understanding as a believer. Their people, the courtyard would represent believers that are, they're saved, and they're happy with that, and they're praising the Lord for their salvation. I think that's what the courtyard represents in the tabernacle. But then I said, if you go, the priest would go from that courtyard and he would pass through a curtain or a veil, as it's called, into what is called the holy place. And in the holy place, he would find several pieces of tabernacle furniture, I guess you'd call, or articles. The first one that I would mention would be a menorah, a 7-branch solid gold candlestick or lampstand, a golden menorah that would, of course, light up the space that would represent the illuminating of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. And by the way, we, the church, is God's menorah, right? In Revelation chapter 1, 7 lampstands, literally menorahs. And so I think the menorah would represent a believer who is having the illuminating of the Holy Spirit in their life, so that they can be a witness, a light for him in this world. Another article in the holy place would be the table of showbread, or literally the table of presence, or the table of face. And it represents really the word of God. I think that the 12 loaves that were required to be on that table are called the bread of presence or the bread of face. The priests were able to eat that each Sabbath when it was replaced with fresh bread. And I think it symbolizes feeding upon the very life of God himself and through his word. And how Jesus feeds us with himself through his word in our lives, which is the light of God's truth. And so the table of showbread, you might say, represents how Jesus feeds his people through his word on himself and gives us spiritual sustenance and nourishment. There is a third article in that holy place just before the curtain where the high priest would enter into the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. There was an altar of incense that symbolized prayer. The smoke that went up, rose up as a pleasing aroma to God. It symbolized prayer. And so the incense altar, when you put that together with the table of showbread and the menorah, I think what you have here is you have the holy place representing sanctification and service in the believer's life. It represents a daily walk with the Lord. It represents growing in the Lord by praying and spending time in the Word of God, God's living Word, and it having an impact upon you. The third compartment in the tabernacle is what is called in verse 19 of Hebrews 10, the holiest, or the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. All of those would be references to it. And the high priest was the only individual in Israel that could ever go into the Holy of Holies. And he could only enter the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, one day out of the year. And he went in on that one day two times. He went in first for his own atonement, and then he went in the second time as the representative for the people of Israel. When the high priest went into that compartment, went behind that curtain, he would sprinkle the blood that was caught in a basin at the bronze altar. He would take some hyssop and an herb, and he would sprinkle the blood seven times on the lid of that Ark of the Covenant, which was the only article or piece of furniture found in that Holy of Holies. He would sprinkle the blood as an acceptance before God. It was over the lid called the mercy seat that he sprinkled the blood on, that there was a theophany, that is, a visible manifestation of the presence of God in a cloud-like form during the day and in a fiery pillar at night. God hovered over that Holy of Holies. That's why it's the most holy place, which means that when the high priest went behind that curtain that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies, he found himself in the very presence of God. Lord Jesus, in his death, if you remember in the Gospels, when he died, that curtain that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies was torn in two from top to bottom. It was torn apart. And I understand that that curtain was in the temple at Jerusalem in that day about 60 feet tall and about as thick, Josephus says, as a man's fist. So no human being could have ever ripped that curtain. But it was torn in two. What we read here in this 20th verse of Hebrews 10 is that Messiah Jesus, in his death, he tore the curtain apart. That is, his own flesh was the curtain that was torn in two, that opened the way for all believers to have the privilege of permanently entering into the presence of God, an unrestricted path without fear without hesitation, without shame. Every believer through the sacrifice of Jesus has immediate entrance into the presence of God anytime, about anything. And it's based entirely upon his, Jesus's once for all sacrifice rather than on our own goodness. But here's what I want you to think about. Look at verse 22 with me again. Let us draw near. I want us to pause. And I want us to understand a couple of things about this. Number one, to draw near simply means to come closer. And that verb, to draw near, is in a present tense, which means you should never stop drawing near. You should continually draw near. Literally, he's saying, draw nearer and nearer and nearer. Come closer and closer. And by the way, it's a command. It's in an imperative tense. We are commanded to come closer and closer and closer to the Lord, to his presence. Hebrews here is encouraging believers to confidently approach the presence of God, to enter into an intimate, growing intimacy with the Lord in our relationship with him. You know, think about it. Should it really surprise any of us that God wants us close to him? Should it surprise us that God wants your fellowship? That he wants to share his presence with you? I believe that God wants us closer to him than we want to be closer to him. I think it's him that wants us close more than we want to be close with him. That's why he created you. That's why we exist. He created us because he wanted us. And he didn't just want us. He wanted us to be close to him. He wanted us to be one with him. He wants us to become closer and closer to him. He wants fellowship with you. He wants a closeness and an intimacy with you and me. So I want to close with this thought. Are you still living in the outer courtyard? You're saved. You know you're saved. And that's enough for you? You're satisfied? Are you still living there? Let God push you farther and farther into his presence. Jesus became a sacrifice for you so that you could lay down your life as a sacrifice as well. You can go within the veil. And when you do, Jesus will become your very life. He'll become your joy. He'll become your glory. You know, when Jesus becomes that, you really don't need anything else. It won't matter whether the road that you walk is rough or easy. He's enough. It won't matter whether you're living or dying, because he's enough. It won't matter whether you're sick or you're well, because you'll find he's enough. When you enter the Holy of Holies, when you enter God's presence like that, you don't need anything else because he's enough. If you've tasted God's holy immediate presence, I don't think that you'll have much use for life without that kind of intimacy. You'll be seeking that over and over and over again. If you've ever reached that point where he glorifies himself in you, you won't ever want to leave the Holy of Holies. You'll want to go back there. You'll want to come closer to him if you've tasted. I'm just trying to encourage you to go farther in your fellowship with the Lord than you've ever gone before, because that's what he wants. He says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, having a high priest of the house of God, let us draw near. I encourage you, draw nearer than you've ever drawn near before. Don't be satisfied with the courtyard or even just the most holy place. That's a good spot to be saved and to be getting something from God's word on a regular basis and being a witness. That's all good stuff. But the real joy comes from an intimate experience of God's presence on a regular basis in your life. And no one should be satisfied with anything less than that. I know I'm not. I'm not always there in the Holy of Holies, but that's where I strive. That's where I want to be. That's what my heart hungers for. This kind of a journey, spiritual journey, it's not just historical, it's personal. It's a personal thing because you as a believer, we as a church, but you as an individual, you're considered the temple of the Holy Spirit, encompassing all three areas in your spiritual walk. I strongly encourage you, draw near. Come closer.